And experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-8877.
Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, radio for the imagination. Thanks so much for listening to the show that celebrates all things creating and stories. We are going to get ready to tune our imaginations together. I'm going to pop on a little music here from the fabulous Rush River Delta, and I'm going to start playing some of that. This is called First Step. It's because I want to go ahead and honor the storytellers in our world, and I certainly appreciate all the great narrators that help us to understand ourselves and each other, our music, and of course our worlds. And we've got such great songwriters and a musician today who's going to share his story with us. But before we get to our conversation, let's listen to a little bit of Rush River Delta. This song is called First Step, and it is from their demo recorded in 2022. They are from Maiden Rock, Wisconsin. And this is I'm so excited this band is coming down to Northville. I'll give the information on the other side, but let's listen to First Step from Rush River Delta. Spectacular band. I'm so excited they're coming. They are going to be here in Northfield on, the date is on Saturday, April 1st at 7 p.m. at the Grand Event Center. And so I hope that you'll make sure and make some time for them. Joining me on Art Zany Radio, I had a conversation with the lead from that group, Ryan Zwanziger, and he is extraordinary. I'm so excited that you're going to be able to meet him and hear our conversation. Rush River Delta is his group. Ryan is the acoustic guitar player and singer and songwriter, and he has a whole bunch of songs. He says they flow straight from the American songbook. He's influenced by the deep pool of acclaimed songwriters from his native Minnesota. Zwanziger's grunge and rock background pairs with his slap and pop acoustic guitar styling to afford a unique musical canvas. And through the years of refinement, his signature songwriting elements of pop sensibility, lyrical depth, and melodic hooks carry through his tunes, regardless of the genre. And it was my great honor to be able to have that conversation with him. They are coming again on Saturday, April 1st at 7, so you can get your tickets at thegrandnorthfield.com. Tickets are $15 at the door. It's going to be a night that's to remember. I'm so excited to introduce you to Ryan Zwanziger on Art Zany Radio for the Imagination. One, I'm so delighted to have you join us here on Art Zany Radio, so I want to welcome you to the show. I understand from information about the concert that you are returning to Northfield. So tell us about your connection to Northfield.
Well, born and raised. Born in the old Northfield Hospital over there that I don't believe exists anymore. Maybe it's even apartments or something, last I heard.
It's a park, but, yeah. Way Park is that hospital used to be there. So, you go way back.
Way back, absolutely. All the way back.
And what do you remember about growing up in Northfield? How long were you here?
I was there for a little over 21 years, so quite a long time. I remember always having plenty to do as a kid. As a teenager, you start to, no matter how good your hometown is, I got to get out of this place. And then you move away and you look back, man, I really had it made in that nice little town. it was a really pleasant place to grow up. Plenty to do, whether it's the parks or the Sledden Hills or the key growing up was such a amazing thing in the teenage years. I noticed when I was in town the other day that's still going.
Mm-hmm.
And Northfield really does have a lot to offer the youth.
I wonder if you had any memories of the music scene when you were here in Northfield.
I do. Growing up, it was my teenage years. It's kind of the key in some of those local the venues around there is what you call the hardcore music scene was pretty relevant at the time. So there was a lot of those mosh pits and things that I was never really a fan of, even though I was a big guy and I don't like getting elbowed and things. But I did go to some of those concerts and enjoyed some of that for a while. That's kind of where I remember the scene being like as a kid, and then it started to branch out from there. I remember Mark Grundhofer, I remember, started some kind of like jam bands and some things like that. He's gone off to do great things with that, obviously playing with the Big Woo and,
mm-hmm.
and other groups like that. But yeah, I the key is what I really remember as a youth, and how important that was to have that place to go and like-minded kids. And I'm so happy that's still there and still going strong.
Yeah.
Well, in a nicer, newer location.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what was it that having a place that you could go to, how that affected you. Did that change your musical career, do you think?
Well, it absolutely did. It was, you're at that time of life when what am I into? And you're trying to figure that out. I played some sports, I enjoyed it a bit, but it wasn't really my thing. And once I started to, once I picked up a guitar and decided that was a path I was going to start walking on, having a place like the Key, you go in and they have the piano there, and there was just, like-minded people you could, a lot of us outcasts would hang out and, try to find an 18-year-old to buy us a pack of cigarettes. You know, the things we did. But it was such a blessing to have that place. Just like-minded people, find your space.
That's so important, so that you can explore things. And it sounds like you started with the guitar and learned to play. And is that where it branched off into thinking about bands? Or what were some of your first gigs when you were just starting out?
First gigs. Well, I could, the guitar came to me by complete chance. I went to a friend's house and he played Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana on his guitar. And I thought that was really cool. And he said, well, I can teach you that in 5 minutes flat. If you just do this and you do this. And oh, wow, I learned how to do it. And he said, by the way, I just got a new guitar and I'd like to sell this one. So how would you like to buy it in this little amp for $50? And I said, well, sure. And that was the start of it all right there. I rode that my bike home from Waterford is where he lived. And I managed to carry a guitar and an amp while riding my bicycle home and never looked back. To say my first gig ever was with a group, a couple of buddies, a drummer and a bass player, and we played upstairs at the Rubenstein one Saturday afternoon. I think we may have been 15 years old, and in a band we called No Control. Weren't we cool? Sorry. It's a punk band of sorts, you know. Yeah. Actually, not a terrible name for a little punk band.
No, not at all. I love that story of you and how it happened that you were, you know, just in the right place at the right time where somebody was selling a guitar and it made its way back to your house on your bicycle, and the rest is history.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, I had no intention of anything that day. It wasn't that I was out seeking a guitar. It wasn't, you know, it just, something about hearing that song and... That's why I'm Nirvana guy for life, obviously.
And you started playing, and when did the writing of songs come into your world?
I'd say immediately. Actually, my neighbor across the street from where I lived, I used to live on West 8th Street, on the corner of Linden and 8th down there, and my neighbor at the time, he's not there anymore, but neighbor Gary was a guitar instructor. So I took probably 4 or 5 lessons from him, learning the chords, a couple of scales, the dreaded bar chords, you know, that kind of thing. But I remember my first assignment, he sent me home day one from my first guitar lesson, taught me the cowboy chords, you know, your A, your C, your D, your E, that kind of thing, and sent me home and asked me to write something with those 4 chords. And I did. I actually came up with a catchy little thing and brought it back to him. He was quite impressed, and he encouraged me to keep going, and I've never stopped. So
I think that's, again, look at the fortuitousness of having a person who lives across the street who teaches lessons, and an instructor who, you know, gave you that assignment of write a song. And I think if as a kid you think, of course, I'm going to go home and write a song. And then as you get a little older, it gets a little harder to think about that. And it has songwriting, how has it been for you as you've progressed through the years? Is it anything in particular that inspires you, or do you still start off with a couple chords and then see where it takes you, or pick a word, an image, an instrument, something that launches into a song?
I guess, you know, it's probably, it's changed. It's been, you hear a lot of songwriters talking about this, yes to all. It's kind of like, but it really started writing at 15, 16, and I was just nonstop. I remember we got that show at the Rube there. We got it booked before we even knew enough song to fill the 2-hour window we were supposed to perform. So I remember I had about 2 weeks to write an album's worth of material to play along with the covers that we were planning on playing. And I went ahead and did it. I wrote like probably 15 20 songs in those 2 weeks, and just went at it about anything and everything. And a couple of those I still have around to this day, which is kind of crazy. Most of them just kind of flew off into the ether. I don't recall. But it was easy as pie for me when I was a teen. Something about it, the wellspring was, you know, it was flowing, and I had that connection to whatever's giving you that creative force. Probably slowed down a little bit and went back to critique a lot of things in my late teen years, and went on to have relationships, get a little older, and spend as much time doing it. And then married young, divorced young, and then, wow, the gates opened back up again for songwriting, I'd say, between 2005 and 2008, I wrote probably 25, 30 songs. A lot of which are still around today. And, so sometimes it takes going through something like that to just, you know, you almost have to write. I find it therapeutic when any time something like that in life happens, whether it's loss or, you know, whatever, writing about it and getting it out, putting into a song, I feel like I can finally, that's my healing process. I can finally set it down and walk away. Mm-hmm. Okay, I expressed that. It's in the song. Awesome. I've got this song to look back on that with now. Set it down and move on. And then there's the times, like you said, you know, whether it's you sit down and you pick up your instrument and a riff comes out that inspires something, or it can be a phrase that you then reverse engineer the entire tune out of that. Lately, I've been more... I'll pick a kind of a, I try to go bigger. I try to find the whole theme of the song. I see the movie in my head and then write it back from there. My latest one is called, Burn Me Slow is the title of it. And it just came across at a band practice. Our guitar player was, going through his little loop pedal, and he had this progression and these couple of hooks that he'd put together for something, and the little burn me slow melody came into my mind. And I thought, well, what are those lyrics? How do I reverse engineer that? And at first came to me, like, you know, you hear people talk about a slow burn, like some of those songs that are just mm-hmm. a nice kind of progressive slow burn. Yeah, that's kind of the theme of the song. But then I thought about, how I'm not growing up somewhat in the church and liking the idea of a loving God, but then seeing the contrast to the rules and the dogma and the you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't marry who you love, all these kind of things. That never sat right with me. So that's what I ended up doing with this Burn Me Slow song. If you're going to burn me for dancing, if you're going to burn me for living, if you're going to burn me for loving, then burn me slow. You know, it's kind of a, kind of that, you know.
I love that insight you're giving us into.
So it was, that's kind of where I'm at these days with song. That's but more in the reverse engineering or, yeah, see the whole movie and try to pick the parts and write the script. I don't know.
Right. How do you keep yourself receptive to those, or maybe open is the word, to exploring, you know, those various connections that your mind is making to the sound and the, as you mentioned, kind of the, you know, the how the lyrics want to match the music and the shape of the song? Where do you... know that you're onto something, or what has your practice taught you about that?
Boy, it's when you know, I think. And sometimes you get a little overexcited about something. You go back the next day and you're kind of like, yeah, it was okay. but I think when you know, you know, you, you, It's for me, I guess, when it just starts writing itself, you got to leave yourself open to that, and you gotta not be hard on yourself as a writer. I mean, although you of course you're your own worst critic, and you gotta critique your stuff and try to always be better. Mm-hmm. But you gotta trust your instincts and try to see it through. But it's just so exciting when something happens with your hands and all of a sudden your mouth, you just, that little phrase or that little melody pops out, and I still, I get goosebumps every time. It's my favorite activity, outside of, playing with my kids and whatnot. It's what I get the biggest kick out of is it's always been songwriting, that time when it's a fresh idea and you see it all coming together. There's nothing I enjoy more than that. It's just, I don't know. It's playing make-believe, and it's taking something that didn't exist, and all of a sudden now it exists. It's pulling that from the ether, and, like all songwriters say, you can't take credit for these things, really. I mean, as hard as you might work at them, they come from somewhere else,
I think that's an amazing lesson for everybody who's listening, and whatever your creating process is, you have some really good advice in there for people to grab onto. And folks, if you're just tuning in, we're talking with Ryan. Now, here's something I did. Usually I ask ahead of time how to pronounce a last name, and before I recorded the interview, I forgot. So I'm going to take a shot here. Zwanziger?
Wow. You nailed it on the first time.
Woo! I was a little nervous there. So, folks, this is Art Zany Radio. You're listening to, I love your name, it has a lot of Z's in it, Zwanziger, and we are talking about the performances of Rush River Delta, which is coming to Northfield April 1st. Very exciting, at the Grand Event Center at 7 p.m. And one of the things I saw that I thought we should share with our listeners is a really interesting new event that they have going on there. It is the Songwriters in the Round, and you've participated, you mentioned, a couple of times. So tell us about that night. It had some great names in the list that I saw for the most recent one. What do you do there?
Oh, it's been amazing. It's they do a Nashville style Songwriter in the Round, so it's you get however many musicians on stage. I think they've been doing four at a time. So and everybody takes turns telling a story, playing their song, and you go down the line, and everybody gets three tunes, and they've been having somewhere between, it's been like 7 to 9 performers each time, so you get a good couple few hours of quality songwriting. I've done it three times now, and I've been absolutely blown away by the quality of songs and the different songwriting styles. It's it's inspiring to no end, for sure. Sitting up there, you don't know what these people are going to play. You've never met them before. You've never heard them before. And it's been an absolute treat. Mark has been hosting it, and I want to say, is it Ray or Roy, the sound guy? Thank you.
Ray Coudray?
Right.
Is it Ray Coudray?
I believe it might be, yes.
He's well known around here and a great sound artist. Yeah, and is that something that the public is open to, or is it exclusive to songwriters? How did you get connected with that?
I saw a collaborator and a good friend of mine, John Curtis Dean, had performed there. And I noticed on Facebook he was performing in that Songwriter in the Round. And I said, hey, that's my hometown. How do I get involved? Mm-hmm. So he hooked me up with Mark Ross, who's been hosting these events. And got me in there. So it's any songwriter, I believe, if you get on the Grand's Facebook there and whatnot, I believe anyone can get a hold of Mark through there. And if you're interested, give it a shot, because it's great to get on stage and share what you do. That's mm-hmm. what it's all about. It's free to the public. It's starts at 7 and usually goes until around 9:30 or 10. Always on a Thursday night. It's a wonderful, a free evening out of again, you never know what you're going to get. The songwriters are always changing. And the couple of repeats I've seen, they bring new songs each time. You know, I've performed there three times, so I've performed 9 different songs, and that tends to be what folks do rather than repeating their hits, you know.
Sure. And so it's
bringing new stuff to the table.
It's a performance as opposed to a workshop where you're bring something and you're making changes as you perform, or is it so it's a song that's completed that you'll tell the story behind making the song?
Correct. It's performance, completed performance, yes. So everyone tells the story behind the song and performs, and maybe there's a little banter afterwards, and on to the next. It's been very supportive. I think a lot of the folks that have been performing are a part of some songwriting workshops that are local to the area, which if I had any time, I might try to join, but... yeah, no time for that these days.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. I love that you know, as an audience member, you would get exposed, you know, 7 or 8 different styles of music and hear the background of the song, which, you know, in any time if I'm at a poetry reading or a gallery exhibit or concert, I love hearing that stuff about how things came to be, or, you know, just learning about that process and getting some inside, right? You information that you wouldn't get at a concert.
Makes it more personal, absolutely.
So then you
can... And it's something I've been working on as a songwriter. Okay, how do I tell the story behind this song?
Mm-hmm.
And how much do I want to give away? And how much do I, you know, want to let the listener make it their own at the same time? So that's a new art form I'm working on. Telling the story of your song before you play your song. Not as easy as it might sound. You know?
Well, that's true. You brought up a really interesting point, because you're creating something that is, you know, meant to maybe be a part of your experience, but it's not meant to be autobiographical necessarily. And you're putting out something that you know, maybe just because it sounds good, or the words rhyme, or the banter makes sense when you, or the, you know, chorus has a rhythm that you, so you want certain words that match that piece. So it's not always a story per se would be, you know, here's a what happened when I walked in here, and then this happened, and then, you know, this. It's not linear, right?
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, it's, geez, some songs, I have a song called 12 Years, because it sat around for 12 years. I kept changing and kept changing and kept changing, and it's like, I don't even know how to tell the story of that song. Don't ask.
Yeah,
take me 12 years to tell it.
Audiences do appreciate that, being given a little bit of insight into the heart of it. But then you also brought up something that I have some friends, poet friends, that are very adamant that it's the person who's listening, their experience, that matters most. So it doesn't matter what I'm wanting to keep it open for them to, you know, be a part of it and engage with it. So however they see it, that's the right answer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I feel you're going to let the story be theirs. You know, there's a couple of mine. If I were to perform them there, I'd say, usually I tell a story, but not this time. You just go ahead and listen.
That's part of it too. And we should talk about Rush River Delta. This is the band that's coming to Northfield, and it is out of, was it Maiden Rock, Wisconsin, right?
Yep, Maiden Rock, Stockholm, Pepin, Wisconsin area. There's this lovely little 15-mile run in the bluffs of Mississippi here, these nice little towns, and that's where all the band members reside.
So how did you all get together?
I apologize, what was that?
Well, how did you all get together?
Well, I moved out here late 2014 and was immediately impressed by the artists in the area. I mean, not, you know, musically, the photographer, there's just... Stockholm itself is known as quite the arts community. They have the Stockholm Art Fair every year and all that. And so there's abundance of the musicians, and very talented ones. As time went on, I just started to make friendships. You know, get together with people and jam a little bit, maybe sit in with some people. And I always wanted to start a group, but I was a little afraid to ask all these folks because they're all so darn good. And it had been a long time since I had been in a band. I was working with a band in Colorado from 2010 to 2013, and we did quite a bit of touring around and a lot of that. But I hadn't had a band in a while, and I was, like I said, I was kind of intimidated by some of these players. So it took me, actually, last year, I went to the casino, and I ended up winning a decent amount of money. I was kind of put a $20 bill in a machine, and all these lights went off, and won a few thousand dollars. So I...
Fabulous.
Yeah, I decided to rent an apartment in the same building that we're at that was vacant and invite all these musicians to try to make a little record, a little EP, and see if they like my songs. They did like my songs, and I kind of bribed them. Let's come over, let's make this little record. I'll buy the food and the beer, and I'll pay for everything, and we'll play this one show, this little CD release show, and then I'll let you guys go. Well, they happened to like the music and happened to want to keep going. And that was my plan, of course, all along. I got them. And now we've added even more members since. So right now we have Nancy Long on drums, who performs in other groups like JoJo Green and Always Late. And she's quite the fill-in for a lot of bands around here. Rich Casey on bass, who performs with the High 48s, Bluegrass Group, amongst others. Ethan Steele on guitar. He's the young buck in the group, 24 years old, very talented. I call him Captain Hook because he's just got ideas for days. We added Mike Walk on saxophone, very, very talented saxophone player. Tim Caswell on keys and guitar, who is just one of the greatest musicians on the planet, I have to say. We've been collaborating with John Curtis Dean as well, who I mentioned earlier was one of the songwriters that was performed at the Grand every now and again. He's a mandolin player and banjo player and plays harmonica as well as guitar. And then we have the ever-talented Faith Allwelling, vocalist, who is just absolutely dynamite. She performs with Left Wing Bourbon and Jambalaya. She actually performs with Musician Talk on Sunday. She's going to be on this next week with Pauline, is it?
Yeah, Pauline Jennings. It's right on KYMN, so we'll put a plug in for
Pauline's,
that.
Pauline's, was it Steve, I believe, right? He actually plays with Faith in that Left Wing Bourbon band. He plays drums with her, so there's that connection going on there in Northfield with her. We come in as a seven-piece, sometimes an eight-piece even, and mostly playing my original compositions. We do throw in a couple covers throughout the night just to give people that something that they know. They're usually reworked and maybe in a different style or something. I kind of like to goof around with covers and make them our own. Primarily we play my own compositions and been putting some work in, so things are finally starting to feel, it takes a little while. You get so many pieces together. Where's everybody playing the song? Who plays when? We're really getting things dialed in now, so I'm really excited about this show. On the first, being able to showcase that.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. And you can hear a little sample from rushriverdelta.com, their website. And definitely you can just get tickets right at the door for that. That is Saturday, April 1st at 7 p.m. at the Grand Event Center. I got to ask, because I read the bios of your band members, and I had a great time reading them. I don't know who wrote your bios, but that was a spectacular. They're not always that entertaining.
I gotta take the blame.
It was wonderful. Everybody has nicknames, well worth checking out, and there's so much personality in those. But I noticed that there wasn't a nickname for you. Do you not?
Well, yeah, I've got plenty of nicknames around here. I've been called bacon. I've been called toast. Don't ask me why.
Love that, combo.
It's generally food related. I'm a chef as well, so I don't know. Maybe that has something to do.
Sounds wonderful. And it sounds like also what it told me was that there's a chemistry in the band. There's a connection, you know, a good rapport, if you will. And that's
100%.
Yeah, that's really hard to come by. And so how is it that, you know, sometimes it's just happenstance again, or sometimes you have to work on that a little bit. Tell me how you knew that this was going to be, you know, Rush River Delta, that you guys were going to come together and make this group, you know, and do some stage shows and do some performing.
Well, originally it was a completely selfish endeavor on my part. Like I said, I had these songs and I hadn't played in the band for a while, and I really wanted to get some of these new and old ideas recorded. And the musicianship of these folks around here is just, they're incredible. So at first it was a selfish endeavor just to get them together to record this one thing so I could get it off my chest. And then these folks, some of them have played together in different groups around here, or maybe just jamming around a campfire, but this particular group of people, as talented as they are, and they all live locally, had never performed in a group this size. They were, you know, all gotten together, and I just thought that was going to be fun. We're all friends. We all know each other. We're all peers, and so we already knew beforehand we all get along. You know, we hang out and we see each other, and so that right away I knew was going to work. I didn't realize that they were all going to enjoy my songs the way they did, and enjoy playing with each other to the point that they'd want to continue and actually form a band. This was just supposed to be Ryan and the whoever's make a little CD, and it turned into Rush River Delta, and I couldn't be more pleased about that. You know, we were already friends, and just being able to get them on the same room. I can't believe nobody did it before. I was like, why didn't anybody ever try to make a super group around here? There's all these incredible musicians.
And you did, and now
finally got it done.
Well, how would you describe the sound to people who aren't familiar with the music? And probably it's such a, you know, you're bringing it to Northfield. What are they going to hear when you come?
Well, I'd say we're a rock and roll band, but we're also there's a lot of Americana. I primarily play acoustic. A lot of it is there's the Americana side of things. There's the straight rock and roll side of things. There's the blues and the soul. I'm a songwriter that's listened to so much that's always changing what I'm listening to. So I've been inspired to write, you know, a folk song or a country song or a rock song or a blues song or a jazz number or this. And so that's what this band is. It's really, you know, it's kind of genre bending in a way. You're going to hear a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Like I said, the instrumentation alone kind of lets you know it's going to be all over the place. But somehow we always, we sound like Rush River Delta. We don't sound like we're reaching too far. Somehow these, like I said, these musicians are just, they're all so good that they can change genres like hats, and it sounds like they're always meant to play that genre. So I'm just blessed to have these musicians that I can go, okay, here's a country song, now let's play this downhill dirty rock and roll tune and come back and play this jazz number over here, and everybody's on board. So
that range is great, and you can hear that when you listen to some of the music. And I'm thinking, as a songwriter, when you present something and you're working with the band, sometimes I'm going to guess they say, well, how about if I, could I, should I, may I add this, or, you know, how about if we change the chord a little bit, or, you know, they may have suggestions. How does that work when you're in rehearsals with a song?
Oh, I love it. I love it when they dive in and they want to make it their own. Mm. I mean, that's what makes a band, you know. I mean, you can hire the baddest musicians around and they'll show up as long as you pay them. But it doesn't mean that they'll play with heart or that they'll want to contribute any of their ideas or anything like that. And it's the complete opposite with this group. They care. They seem to really like the songs, and they're willing to lend, not only lend their talent, but lend their ideas. Maybe they have an original idea. Maybe it's something that they could have used for a different song, but they'll bring it to the table. I've definitely seen these songs take on a whole new life. I may have had an idea of what I thought the arrangement was going to be, or, you know, what instrument was going to be playing this part here, and that, you know, you get together with these folks and a lot of that can change. So somebody had an idea. Sometimes they get frustrated with me because they'll rearrange tunes. Well, we just had this down last week. Well, yeah, and then you did something really cool and you made me change the whole arrangement. Sorry.
Yeah, you really do have to be flexible when you're, you know, in that learning a new song stage and need to be able to roll with it. And you need to have people who are capable. And that part, I think, is just always, I think, would be really scary. But when you got folks who can do it really well, it just, there's something magic that happens. And it sounds like you've got that with Rush River Delta.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm very fortunate. We all seem to be speaking the same language at this point in time. So let's keep that going.
Yeah, and I know you have also, in addition to the show in Northfield, you have the Rush River Delta Quartet, which is playing at the Barrel House in Red Wing, which isn't that far away from here. That's on Friday, March 24th at 7. And so tell me about the quartet, because it sounds like, is it just another offshoot of the full band?
Yes, indeed. And thank you for that plug, by the way. You did your homework. Much appreciated.
Of course.
the quartet, so the main driving creative force these days has become myself and Rich Casey on bass and Ethan Steele on guitar. We have been getting together once or twice a week for really the whole winter now, and working on new material and arrangements. And, there's so many of these people in this band play with a lot of other bands and have lives and everything. So it's hard to get everyone together all the time, but Richie and Ethan and I have been able to make a lot of time to get together. So that's where a lot of we do trio gigs together and stuff. So the band can be, you know, anywhere from me playing solo to us doing the trio. And then when we want to play some rock and roll, get a little louder, we'll bring Nancy in on drums and we can, play just fine as a four piece. Of course, it's nice to have a little extra accompaniment sometimes.
Sure.
But,
I'm going to tell you the
perfectly full sound as a four piece rock and roll band. So that's what we'll be bringing to the Barrel House. And it's always fun. We just kind of let our hair down in those four piece gigs. And
I'm going to tell you that Nancy, the bio of Nancy, makes me just want to go and learn more about her, because she sounds like a great, on percussion, just does a great job and is a master at what she does. And I love that about, the story that you told about your band.
Oh, she's a monster, absolute monster. She's such a secret weapon. We're lucky to have her on board. And she plays with a group out of the cities with JoJo Green, very good. And she is happy to lend her talents to us when she isn't off with them. And I tell you, she harmonies. She's got great ideas on arrangements. And then, she's always driving the bus back there. And we start getting a little off at times. Nancy pulls us back in and gets us right back to where we need. So, yeah, she's a champ. She's a monster.
That's
incredible.
And it feels like, too, I'm kind of excited from, a fan perspective of live music, that we're moving into that phase where things are getting a little bit back to I don't know, normal's not the right word. What is normal? Nobody knows what normal is. But I think the audiences are ready, the musicians are ready, and it's time to come out, right, to be in that venue again where you get to hear live music, because there's nothing like it. You can't replace that. You know, and you can listen to a great album, but you hear it live, and it just, that whole experience is so worthwhile. From your perspective as a musician, what have you played any other shows? What are you finding that the audiences are like since we've gone through this pause and now we're back starting up?
You know, it was interesting getting back to it at first. You know, you're doing a lot of patio gigs, you're doing these things, but I feel everybody's just so thrilled to get back to it. I for instance, I hadn't gone out and seen you play so many concerts yourself, and that kind of becomes, you know, a lot of musicians, we don't go out to see a lot of live music. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have the time or whatever. But just myself, I went up to the Dakota Jazz Club, excuse me, a few weeks ago, and saw Anna Popovich, incredible blues guitarist in her group, and you know, that was really the first time I was in a place like that since the pause, as we'll put it. And the normalcy of it, it just feels so good. The crowds have been great since, you know, we've been out playing. It just feels so good to be doing it again and get that energy from the folks coming back at you. Nothing like it. There's nothing like it. It's like I remind my band every time we go up there. It's like, remember, they call it playing music for a reason. playing. We're here to play. It's like, remember when you were 5 years old, you know, going in the sandbox and the monkey bars and you didn't want it to ever end and you're like, oh, Mom, that's going, I don't want to come in. Like, that's the mentality I try to get in and get the band in. And that's really where you go organically. That's why those, when it's happening, you see these grins on the band's faces. It's because we're in the sandbox, man. We're swinging on the monkey bars. We're finally back to that childhood state of play. And that's what I do. And I think that's what it brings, you know, the crowd to as well. When they really, you know, let themselves go and be a part of the music. I feel like, you know, that's what it does to me when I'm go see a good live band and I really let go. I'm back in the playground.
That is my favorite description of live music ever. We can't end on anything better than that. And folks should definitely come out and see Ryan Zwanziger at the Grand with the Rush River Delta. And Little Wing, too, is going to be there as well. That is at the Grand Event Center on Saturday, April 1st at 7 p.m. It's sure to be a fabulous night. Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining me on Art Zany Radio.
Oh, thank you, Paul. It's been a treat. Thank you so much.
Of course. Folks, I want to thank Ryan Zwanziger for being a part of it. Let's listen to some music from Rush River Delta. Here is Train of Hope on Art Zany Radio. This is one of their tunes from their Live from Apartment 5, and you're going to like it. Here it is, Train of Hope.
Don't you know that? Sing a swim, go come again and again. Drowning in your wild and way. Half that to your silver breath. Get you back on side of ground. Got one out of life to change your way. Think about ways to change your life. Get your heart back on the ground. We're going to drive. Thought we were going to explore the train. Step out of lane.
That is Rush River Delta, and that was Train of Hope, and I hope I will see you on April 1st at the Grand Event Center. It's starting at 7. Rush River Delta and Little Wing will be there, and we're going back to live music. Thanks again to Ryan Zwanziger. It was a delight, and I think he had some great advice for everybody out there. Such a pleasure to listen to him. I hope that you always remember that we are all storytellers, and that you always add some art zany to your life. Thanks for listening, and in the meantime, until next time, enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. The Paradise Center for the Arts is a vibrant cultural and artistic gathering spot in historic downtown Faribault. The Paradise is committed to offering high-quality visual and performing art opportunities for Faribault and our region. Regular events spotlight some of the best artists and musicians in our area and throughout Minnesota and the Upper Midwest. Our beautifully restored facility includes art galleries, classrooms, clay and textile labs, a gift shop and rehearsal spaces, in addition to a 300-seat auditorium. Visit ParadiseCenterForTheArts.org for a full schedule of events or call our box office at 507-332-7372.